Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this May 18th day, 2019. We're going to look at humility, one of the most important qualities in an authentic spiritual practice you will ever learn. And it's kind of a difficult subject to talk about in this world where being pompous and arrogant seems to be the way. We see it in government. We see it in entertainment business. We see it everywhere. But we'll talk about humility here in a moment. And I want to thank those of you who are my sponsors who make this radio program possible with your quarterly and monthly donations. Yes, you know, it costs money to be on radio, costs money to offer you these programs, and I hope that you're finding them to be of value and of service to you. And if you are, I am asking you to be very generous and become a sponsor. It is only through your sponsorship that these programs can be made available to you. A sponsor is someone who offers a donation either quarterly or four times a year, or I should say, or monthly, every month or quarterly, four times a year. I'll get it right. And for your donation, you receive so many wonderful gifts. The message of the month, each and every month, it's always on a subject that I am working on along with and correlating with my breath journal that I write each and every month on a spiritual topic or subject that I think is really important. And along with that, you get all of the commentaries, podcasts, and video casts that I do during the month, which are two, and access to all of them. If you look at the website, there are tons of them on the website, just tons of them. This is for someone who is sincere, to say the least. Someone who is really trying to get to the heart of the matter of what it means to work on yourself, to have a sense of spirituality. So that is there for you. These commentaries are not for everyone. Believe me, they're not. They're very concise and poignant and pointed, and I mince no words with them, so there can be no misunderstanding about what it means to awaken spiritually, to attain. And then, of course, you get 122 discourses that I did over the years of me filming Aspire. Most all of the series had discourses that went with them, and I am happy to have them there for you to read or listen to and download and do whatever you want. So they're all there for you for being a sponsor, and that's a lot. So I hope you will consider being one. If you're interested, please go to the website at aspire.org, and down at the bottom of the page, you'll see why support Aspire. If you click on that, it will answer all your questions, and you can sign up right there. Humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus. Right off the bat, he tells us how this all works and what one needs to accomplish within oneself to spiritually awaken. And I find this to be exceedingly meaningful to me. It's very, very powerful. Let me read the word humility to you. The definition is a modest or low view of one's own importance. Well, that's a little too much, in my opinion. It goes a little deeper than that. It's about being humble. Humility, having or showing a modest estimate of one's importance. That is a little, that's not decisive enough for me. Humility means to be yielding. Humility means not to seek self-importance, not to live in the pretense of our ego. A person who can actually say, I don't know. Now, this is really, really important. In an authentic spiritual practice, the state of your mind and how you live in that mind, not seeking to be privileged or not seeking to be important, not seeking to do anything that would bring about self-aggrandizement. This is extremely important. So when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's saying, blessed are those who can humble themselves enough to realize the state of their spirit, the meaning of their life, their soul. Now, I did a whole series on the Beatitudes. You can see them on the website at aspire.org. And also, there are discourses for them. And if you're a sponsor, you can just download them. They're yours. If not, you can make a donation and get them. But whatever, it is the modest, the humble, the person who was not seeking recognition, the attitude, because humility is an attitude. Okay, we go to the questions. Now, I bring this up because the questions are kind of interesting. First question from Randall, does not tell me where he lives. What is this, please forgive me, at the end of all of your programs and such? I don't get it. Are you trying to be humble? Randall. Randall, I live in third person. I don't live in first person. I don't live thinking of a self or that there is a Gregory. I've had a lot of Gregory in my life, and it was very, very painful to live with him. So now, rather than hating him or disliking him or trying to get rid of him, what I do is I live in third person. I've been doing this for many years now. And the more I live in third person with him, not thinking of him as, we'll say, myself, I live in a different place. I can't explain that to you any better than that. I'm sorry. But to get to this humility has taken a great deal of effort on my part over and over and over again. In doing this, I have come to honestly realize that that is the state of humility. No longer being subjected in him. When I'm subjected to him, I lose my objectivity. And sometimes when I'm doing a radio program or a TV program, I find that he'll sneak in here and sneak in there every so often. Not much anymore. And when I do find that, I ask for forgiveness. Nothing in the human is absolutely pure and perfect. Nothing. Not in any of us. Even in the spiritual masters that I have been exposed to, there is nothing absolutely perfect in this world except the exquisiteness of our oneness in love. That is a perfect and beautiful state. But other than that, I need to tell you, you need to understand, everything here in this world, and myself included as a human being, suffers from, you know, imperfection. All of us do. So when I'm giving you a radio program, as deeply and as sincerely as I am about helping you and about giving you the very best that is possible within, there is always going to be those elements of the human that enter in, and I can't help that because the human expression that we have here on this earth is imperfect. Words are imperfect. Words are inadequate, and I have to use them to communicate to you. That is why I'm saying, please forgive me. Because there is every chance, based, Randall, on your attitude as compared to mine, that you could misunderstand absolutely everything I am saying. There is no doubt I can be misunderstood in a heartbeat. So it is kind of rude, lewd, and crude that I have to use the human words, the human vocabulary to express myself. Not always is that the best mode. The best mode is to sit in silence and imbibe each other and get the message that way. But not many people are willing of that, and not many people can even do that. So there you are with that. I do the best I can with being the human being that I am. I am not a perfect orator. I'm not a perfect teacher. I'm not perfect at anything. And no one is that I know. All I can do is be as precise as I can be in offering you this. And with all of that being said, even then, you look at the Beatitudes, you look at the Eightfold Path of Buddha, there's always a chance for people to misunderstand. And 9 times out of 10, they do. And I ask you for your forgiveness, because what I am saying to you should not have to be said. I should be able to inspire within you and within me a sense of relationship where we follow each other's silences. If you follow my words, you will understand my words. But if you can follow my silences, you will understand the meaning of those words beyond the context, the syntax of it all. And that's really what it's all about. So that's why I say to you and to everyone, after I get done doing any discourse or anything that I do, please forgive me. I hope you understand. Namaste. It is very difficult to teach something that can't be taught. It can only be caught. And I do my doggone bestest, most goodest to try to help you understand what that means. And if you look at my TV programs on the website and listen to the radio programs, and if you are really serious, read the commentaries and listen to the discourses, you will see I really work at being articulate enough to convey a meaning that has no relevance to the human being. And that is a tough job, believe me. I've been doing it for 47 years, and it is a tough job, to say the least. The next one comes from Josh in Colorado. How do I get to be poor in spirit? I've enjoyed your Beatitudes on the radio and TV. I didn't do any on radio, so he must mean on YouTube or something. Anyway, he wants to know how to get to this poor in spirit thing. Boy. Josh, thank you for your question, too. I'm going to say something that might sound strange. You have to want. You have to want to awaken with all of your heart, your soul, your strength. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and you really get into it and understand, he is saying, you know, blessed is the person who is willing to put their human aside and not try to train or educate the human, but now to awaken the part of you that has been merely asleep for many, many lifetimes. That part of you is your depth of sincerity, the motive of your kindness, and the beauty of who and what lives inside of you as a spiritual entity. And then to drop even the entity and become the soul. I am working with my students right now on the soul. I'm training them how to awaken in the soul, because that is what it's really all about. They struggle because their persona, their personality is far more important to them, far more dominant than is the concept of a soul, which they have no concept of at all. And they don't see how it's going to allow them to be relevant to their worldly life. So they struggle and they fight and they make it very, very difficult on themselves, because that's the way they are. They try to cram everything into the human. You have to understand, the human is the vehicle that we are in. We are not that vehicle. We have to have a human body that brings about human experience, and that is our karma. Now, everybody thinks of karma as good karma, bad karma, but that isn't the way it is either. There is just karma. And most people do not understand what just karma means. You're not facing life when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. You are facing your karma. You and I have made karma our life. Life is the gap and the pause between one thing and another, between one thought and another thought, one breath and another breath. And if you enter into that gap, that pause, that space, you will awaken. Believe me, you will find your soul in that gap. But to get there, you have to be sick of your sickness. So, Josh, when you hear, "How do I get to the poor in spirit?" you have to ask yourself, am I sick of my sickness? Am I done being the person I've been? Am I willing to put aside all of that human stuff for the sake of something much more beautiful, much more profound? Am I willing to do that? Not a lot of people are. They don't see the value of it. Well, how's this going to make me richer? How's it going to make me comfortable? How's it going to make me more popular? How's it going to help me overcome my financial difficulties or my earthly difficulties or my alcoholism or whatever it is you're struggling with? We apply human ideals to spiritual teachings that have nothing to do with those human ideals. We're here to transcend. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? How do you achieve it? You must be sick of your sickness and want nothing with all of your heart. No thing. No thing. People who generally get into new thought philosophies and such are looking to find a cure for their life, find a way to cure their unhappiness, to bring about some kind of biological and physical change into their world. And they miss the whole thing. That's not what an authentic spiritual practice is. First, it is to be humble enough, poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, to understand that the soul lives within, that it is the revealer of all great truth, and that it can awaken you in many beautiful and different ways. So with that being said, you can learn how to love and receive love, give love, awaken to love beyond the concepts, the precepts, the preferences of the human mind. Once that has occurred, then changes begin to be immense. You start to recognize how beautiful you really are, how beautiful this life is. You transcend karma and are no longer pitted against yourself any longer. That is so important to understand. You can do this, but it will take practice. And that practice is everything. That's why we call it a practice. Josh, go back and look at those TV programs. Listen to those discourses on the Beatitudes. They're some of the most important teachings I've ever offered. I hope they help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. How do I handle being humiliated for my past? Russ, Chicago, Illinois. Oh, Russ, there is nothing worse than punishing yourself for what you and I have been. What we have been is what we have been. But it doesn't really matter unless you want to sustain what it was that made you be the way you were. Now, if you want to sustain hate and fear, anger, then that is the way it is and it will always be. If you want to sustain something other than that, if you want to transcend that, which you can, you're going to have to learn how to live in loving kindness. Forgiveness for what it was that we were happens when you and I make amends in our life by how we live in this world and live within ourselves. To bring about a sense of equality, equanimity in our life, you must be gentle, kind, compassionate. You can't be easily insulted by what other people think of you or what other people have said about you or even yourself and some of the crap that you may have done in your life. You just have to look at it like this is the way it was. There's a lot of reasons why we did the craziness we did. Testosterone, estrogen, biology, chemistry in our body, a lot of that. Most all of our mischief is based in that. So now that you're maybe a little older and you're looking at things from a different point of view and you're thinking to yourself, well, I shouldn't have been this, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't blah, 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 blah. Now you're looking at things from a different point of view. You have to learn to let love live you. Your past is there to help you with your life. You're the meaning of your life. So the old Henny Youngman joke becomes very, very true. Doc, it hurts when I do that. And the doc says, don't do that. You have to learn restraint and discipline. You have to understand restraint and discipline. And then you have to make amends. If you want to really be authentic, make amends. Some people you won't be able to make amends with because they have left their body or they may not have changed enough in their life to be receptive to your apology. Restitution. Make that the major key of your life, that you make restitution in every way you possibly can for the way you have lived your life. If you make restitution for what you have done, Russ, if you can be kind, if you can be forgiving, if you can be yielding, if you can be generous in all of that, you make restitution, and that changes everything in the course of a lifetime. And I mean everything. Don't let a moment go by where you pass up the opportunity to make restitution to someone or something in your life through kindness and generosity. If you don't affix generosity to your life, you will never know the forgiveness that you need in your heart. Never. Be generous, be kind. Make restitution. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. And almost on time. I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope this helped you. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.